We have a lot of controversy regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. You know, people say it's passed away. People say it left with the apostles with miracles and healing. And how many of you know in your heart, it's in the Bible, it's true.
Yes.
If God said it, it's true. If
Amen.
Jesus said it, it's true.
Yes.
None of that has gone away, because if it had gone away, he would not have said, Jesus would not have said, after he's gone to heaven, greater things we would do. So it's not gone away. Never discount yourself. Never think that you don't have that power in you. From the day that you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. So I'm under the impression that everyone here is a tongue talker. Everybody speaking tongues, everybody speaking tongues. Anybody not speaking? Okay, good. That's good. That's good. I used to work on a prayer line for Andrew Womack Ministries. And when people would call and ask to be walked into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I asked them one simple question. Have you asked? Have you asked? And usually, Alani's got her hand up. Usually, their answer was no. And I'd say, well, then you know what? All you got to do is ask. It's already in you. You've already got it. Wow, that's a book by somebody. I know. You've already got it. Just popped in my head. And when they say yes, that they have already asked, but they're not sure. They're not sure if they're really speaking in tongues. They're not sure if they're speaking in tongues the right way. They're not sure if they've really been endued with that power. Well, again, simple answer. You have it. It's in there. You've already asked. You've said yes to Jesus on that day that you invited him in your heart. And when you did that, that power is inside of you. It edifies. It builds you up. It brings clarity. Anytime you have an issue or a problem that you don't know how to solve and you don't even know how to pray, or you don't even know if you should pray, you don't know. Anytime you're confused, it doesn't matter. Speak in tongues. Happy, sad, forgetful day, bad hair day. I don't want to talk about hair right now, but anything that's going on, speak in tongues. It's always a good thing. Always a good thing. I had an issue. I had lots of issues before. Praise the Lord for change. I had an issue with saying the word hallelujah. As crazy as that sounds, I could not say it. I would be in church, hear other people saying it. I would go to say it, nothing would come out of my mouth. That's the enemy. That's the devil trying to bind you, because I found out that the word hallelujah is the highest praise. It is the best and highest praise that you can give to God. And I couldn't say it, and I couldn't figure out why. So I'm sitting there one day and I'm praying, and I'm like, Lord, what is this? Why won't this come out? I'd open my mouth, nothing would come out of it. Went home that day. Watched Andrew Womack, and he was teaching and preaching on the new you and the Holy Spirit. And I said, let me look at this. Something's wrong. Watched it, and at the end, where he helps everyone release the tongues, it just started to come out slowly. It was la la la. Crazy as that sounds, some people speak in tongues very eloquently. Some people speak with clicks and noises. I know a gentleman who's sitting in the back over there. When he speaks in tongues, it's like a mighty rushing wind. It is beautiful. I might be a little biased because he's my husband, but it is beautiful. It doesn't matter what it sounds like. It's
Thank
all
you.
beautiful to God because it's your personal language with him. He put it there. So he loves it. It doesn't matter if you're going click, click, click. It doesn't matter. It's shada-da-da-da, whatever it is. God loves it, because in order to do it, you have to humble yourself to believe that it's true, to believe that it's good, Because there's so many things that go on in the Christian world sometimes. They will tell you, some denominations will tell you that it is of the devil. Yep. They'll tell you it's of the devil. Don't do that. Oh, no, that's not right. Well, if it's of the devil, then why does Paul talk about it so much? And you know, it does not say in the Bible anywhere that I can remember anyway, but when Jesus would go away to be by himself and talk to the Father, I'd want to bet that there were some tongues in there. I want to bet there was something going on because, you know, Jesus did everything his Father told him to do. He did everything his Father did and said. So I'm almost positive since the Holy Spirit was inside of him at that time and had not been released to us yet, I believe he was speaking in some tongues. And I can only imagine how beautiful that was if Jesus was speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. So let's get into the lesson. If you have the opportunity to ever be asked the question by someone, how do you speak in tongues? You know, what is it about? What does it mean? I don't understand Paul's messages when he's talking, you know, because most of that is in Acts. But if you get the opportunity to lead someone or point them in the right direction, say a simple prayer. Don't make it complicated. You know, sometimes we make things so complicated. Nothing's complicated in the kingdom of God. It really isn't. It's not. It's all there for us. He makes it simple. You accept Jesus, you're in. Praise the Lord. I don't think I've ever heard of any other religion or denomination of anything that doesn't have to do with Christianity where it's that simple. Because some people want you to, never mind. I'm not even going to go into some of the things that people want you to do. It's just amazing to me how easy God has made it for us. He already loves us because he is love. And then he makes everything he wants us to do so simple if we would just come to him. And having the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the clarity and edification that it gives you, you'll know that when you're walking in the Spirit, God is with you. You'll know that what you're doing, every step you take, is with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. One thing that really almost kind of shocked me and delighted me at the same time is Zephaniah 3:17. That verse, when it tells you how God reacts when we humble ourselves and when we walk with him, he dances for joy. He spins. He sings over us. He is delighted with gladness. He calms our fears and rejoices over us with joyful songs. Now, look at this. We serve a singing God, a joyful God. What more could we ask for? He rejoices over us, and that means he dances, skips, leaps, spins around with joy.
Amen.
He dances with shouts of joy over us as we accept his gifts and blessings. So if the gift of tongues is a gift from God, why wouldn't we want it? Why wouldn't we want to do it? I want it. I might be greedy, but I want every single thing that's in the Bible that God's got for me. Every good thing. Because if it's good, I want it because it came from Him. So tell me this rejoicing that God does is not beautiful. The very definition of the word rejoice is translated from a Hebrew word that Strong's Concordance defines as spin around, be glad, be joyful, and rejoice. That is just amazing to me. Can you imagine if you can get a picture of a holy God, all holy, all love, all goodness, just spinning and jumping, dancing and singing over each one of us? That's how much he loves us. That's how much he loves us. There are so many great benefits to accepting the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit produces the ministry of Christ inside of us, because you can minister, you can teach, you can preach, but without that baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have less unction. Because when I was younger, I was under the impression the term when people say the unction of the Holy Spirit, I thought it was the Holy Spirit falling on you and making you do something. I didn't know. I found out, I researched it recently, and it just filled me with joy to find out the unction of the Holy Spirit is when you are speaking even to a friend or in front of people as I am now, and that Holy Spirit just comes upon you and gives you every word you need, gives you every thought that you need to think, helps you when you're trying to edify someone else. That unction of the Holy Spirit is what everyone needs in their life as a Christian. And as a non-believer, my goodness, I don't know how you function sometimes without it, because we need the Holy Spirit. Our very own language that goes straight to God. Just think about that. The devil can't get in the way of it. Nothing can get in between it. Not our own stinking thinking. No lies or schemes. Nothing can come between you and God when you are speaking in tongues. Acts 2 tells of what happens to the disciples the day of Pentecost. There's a movie that I can't think of the name of it right now, probably many of them, but it always used to make chills go up and down my spine when they would show just like the wind rushing in and the fire falling on their heads and how they spoke in tongues. And they spoke in tongues with a heavenly language, and they also spoke earthly languages that they did not know. Now, come on, these were uneducated men. They were speaking languages they had never heard of before. But the people that were there that spoke those languages, they knew exactly what they were saying. Tell me that's not power. Tell me that's not from God. That is amazing, absolutely amazing. When you accept the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not only getting the gift of tongues, but you also can have the gift of interpretation. Look at God. He never leaves us in the dark. He's not just going to let you say something. And if you ask, he'll also tell you what it is. That's also in the book of Acts. When I think about it, Paul has packed so much into the book of Acts. It's a lot. Sometimes you have to, well, for me, I have to pray before I go into the Bible, but there are certain books like the book of Acts where I like to really humble myself and meditate before I get into them, because there's a lot. There is a lot in that in Acts that it is so good for us. So on point for everything we need to walk this Christian life. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." Check that verse out for yourself. That's a powerful verse as well. Because we speak mysteries, absolute mysteries. And again, the fact that God has placed that inside of us, and we don't even know what we're saying, but God does. There's a teacher, and I can't remember his name right now. He was an adjunct teacher at Karis in Colorado. He had spoke about his business and how it was growing by leaps and bounds, and how he was being asked to the White House and all these big businesses and these companies and everything. And he had no clue how or why. And he said, finally, after things just started to break and he got a little bit of time, he said to the Lord, "What am I doing here, God? How did I get here? What is this? I didn't ask for this." And he said he clearly heard the Lord say, "Yes, you did. Every time you spoke in tongues, you asked for this. That was what was in your heart. And why? Because I placed it there. I placed it there so you would know who you are through my son." Yeah, it's just that is beautiful. So just think about if you are a baby. And when you're a baby, you start to speak and your words are gibberish, da 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 da, whatever, mama, whatever it is that babies start to say. One of their favorite words is no. When they first start talking, no. Where's she at, Grace? No. But you have to understand, no matter what it is that you start to utter when you're speaking in tongues, They are real words to God. Never be ashamed of it. Never be afraid of it. Never think that it's not for you, because God has everything for you through that language. And no one else is going to sound like you. So don't worry about that. I hear people speak in tongues and they sound so pretty. They sound beautiful. They sound like they're, I've heard people sing in tongues, which is absolutely beautiful. Luke 15, 16 tells us that God knows our heart. So since he knows our heart, he knows everything else about us. You know, he's not too concerned with what your baby language sounds like when you start out speaking in tongues. He's not too concerned with that at all, because he knows that you are going to grow into knowing him better once you start to speak in tongues. It doesn't matter if you say two syllables for 3 years, because those two syllables could mean something different every time. That's the goodness of our God. That is the goodness of our God. He put those things in us to draw us to him. That's full circle. Like I said, he never leaves us hanging. Never. He put it in there to draw us to him. So receiving the Holy Spirit produces the character of Christ in us as well. Just think about that man that I spoke about earlier. You know, he was doing everything he was supposed to do. He was, you know, running his business in a godly way. It was a Christian organization. And he didn't even realize that he was opening himself up more and more by speaking in tongues. And that's exactly what you do. It helps us walk in God's will. It makes us more righteous and holy. Now, I don't want you to think when I say more righteous and holy that because I speak in tongues and someone else doesn't, that I'm more righteous and holy than they are. No, that's not what I mean. The more you speak in tongues, the more comfortable you get with it, the more you are walking in God's will, because you're humbling yourself under him. So that's why you are righteous and holy, and you're walking in his will. And you can also pray for the interpretation, as I mentioned before. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is called many things, many things. The promise of the Father, that's in Luke and in Acts. Being endued with power, that's also in Luke 24. Receiving power, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit fall on you, and having the Holy Spirit come upon you. Those are just a few of the verses and the different ways they talk about tongues. And I will give those scriptures, those actual scriptures, to Pastor, so she'll be able to post those for you to meditate on later. But it doesn't matter what you call it. As long as you know the Holy Spirit is not going to force you to speak in tongues. Some people think they have to stand there or sit there and pray and beg over and over again, "Oh, make me, Lord, give me the gift of tongues." You've already got it. You've already got the gift. You just let it flow. Hallelujah. You were given it, like I said, that moment that you received Jesus Christ. So you just open your mouth and let it go. The Holy Spirit in Romans 5:5, it tells us we already have him in us. So partake of the gifts. You know, speaking in tongues is just one. Partake of the gifts that God has given us, all of them. When you activate tongues, all you need to do is pray and accept the fact it's in you and believe it. I can't say that enough, because so many people want to think or feel like when they're in a bad mood, or where they're having a bad day, or whatever catastrophe may be going on in their life, that the Holy Spirit has left them. Not possible. Not possible. It says in the word, never leave you or forsake you. Always there, always in you, always with you, never leaving you. One of the simple prayers that I would pray for people on the phone line was, you know, just something. It wasn't even anything written down. It was just something that helped me in my mind when I was trying to pray in tongues. And it's just like this: Father, thank you for sending your son to save me. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit who guides us in all things. I thank you, Father, and I ask for the gift of tongues for edification, for power, and to grow closer to you. I accept that, and since you have given it to me, it's mine and lives in me now, in Jesus' name. That's just to build up and to have them repeat after me something that God has already done for them, so they know that we fight. Whenever we do something, we fight from a stance of victory. We don't beg. We don't fight from a stance of, oh, I got to have that. Can I have it, please? He's already given it to us. Already. Already ours. Absolutely. It doesn't matter, like I said before, what you sound like. Not at all. It's all beautiful to God. All beautiful to God. Amen. Amen. So if it's a gift from God and you don't partake of it, are you walking in God's will? Do you realize that if you don't partake in the gifts of God, that you can distance yourself from God? He's already there, always there. But when we turn our back or walk away on anything that he's willing to give us, that's when we're going to feel distance. That's when we're going to feel that we've walked away. But God is always there. If you have any fears regarding tongues, let that go. Just let it go. You have to know, like I said before, anything that's in the Bible is true. It's funny because I had said to someone a few years ago, I don't care what it is. I don't care how outlandish it sounds. If God tells me he put a man in the belly of a whale and then that man got out unharmed, I believe it. I've never seen it. They say it's not possible because the size of the whale's throat or whatever. But I don't care. God said it, so I believe it. I mean, we have enough wherewithal, as children especially, to believe our mothers and fathers when they tell us something that we don't understand. So if we're going to believe them, why can't we just believe God the same way or more? I mean, if he says it, it's true, you know? I want to dissect this verse a little bit for you. Luke 11:13 says, well, let me just read it. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, that sounds like a question. That absolutely sounds like it even has a question mark at the end of it. If we break that down a little bit, doesn't it sound like a command? Isn't he telling you that God is going to give you more? He's already handed you what you need. He's already given you the tools. It says your heavenly Father, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more? What more do you want? There's nothing more that you can ask for. If you're looking for power, speak in tongues. If you're looking for clarity, you speak in tongues. So I just want to encourage you, no matter what it is, no matter what you're going through, no matter how, you know, no matter what anyone says to you, no matter how you feel, because we don't go off feelings anyway. You know, we don't want to live off of any type of feelings. My goodness. Allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your heart and in your mind so that you understand that this heavenly language that God has provided for you is there for so much more than just rapidly. No, that's not all of what it's about, because people will get in a bind and they will rapidly, and there's nothing wrong with that if that helps you, if that's what you need. But just know that it's there to use every day. It's there to use every second. It's there to use no matter what. And speaking in tongues will take you places that you have never been with the Lord. Amen. It will take you places you have never been. It is the way to walk righteously, as I mentioned before, it is the way to bring peace into not only your life, but the lives of people around you, because you'll be walking in that peace and they'll see it. And when they see that peace, they're going to want it too. And that's your opportunity to talk to them about it. That's your opportunity to help lead them into it. That's your opportunity to continue to walk in God's will and be the disciple that he wants you to be. Amen. So that is my message for today. That is my message for today. I just encourage you all to either get with someone who can help you with tongues, or just, hey, start doing it yourself. Amen.